May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Future Priest Shiloh Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel Abel Ethan Hawkins. It's a privilege and honor to present the sons of and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Israel Abel, Nebiah Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace be with you, each and every one of you. Today, I'm going to talk about our tests and trials in the house of Yahweh. Is everyone rejoicing through them? Praise Yahweh. Just think about the gold and what it represents. The testing and trials is part of our purifying process. This is how we come to perfection. So we can take comfort in that, and that will help us to rejoice through our tests. Well, the scriptures tell us that the testing of our faith develops endurance. If you can turn over to page 953 in your books of Yahweh, page 953, it's Yaakov 1, verse 2 through 4. And it says, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, that you may become perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And also, if you can turn over to page 957, it's 1 Kefa 1, verse 7. 1 Kefa 1, verse 7. And it says, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold which perishes, though it is tested with fire, might be found worthy of praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yahshua Messiah." The persecution will increase and the tests will continue to mount as the oppression and pressure are put on us to try to mentally wear us down. So we will give up on this work and forsake the goal of fulfilling this great work. If you can turn over to page 679, Books of Yahweh, page 679. It's Daniel 7, verse 25. And it says, "And he will speak great words against Yahweh and will wear out mental attack to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh and think to change times, Yahweh's feast days and laws, and they will be given into his hand until a time, times, and divided of times." In the 12th book of Israel, part 1, Pastor says, "So we've come to a time, through a time of mourning, test and trials galore, striving to overcome bitterness, hatred. We're hated above all people on the face of the earth. And now our redemption is drawing near at this very time." And he's saying here now, "Rejoice with all your might, because your redemption draws near." He's speaking, of course, of a certain condition in your mind here. And also in the 8th book of Israel, in the 8th book of Israel, part 2, the pastor says, "Well, you've got to overcome. If your righteousness doesn't exceed this, you will in no ways enter the kingdom. But how are you proving it to Yahweh? It's through your little tests and trials. Here's some things to help us get through these tests. The Peaceful Solution Self-Control book is a great book to help us learn how to handle our tests. Reading from the self-control book, page 41 and 42, it says, it doesn't matter if your emotions are positive, negative, or mixed. What matters is how you respond to all of these emotions. Keep in mind that emotions strongly influence how we conduct ourselves. Although emotions can occur almost instantly, you have the ability to consider how you would respond to what you feel before you take action. A lack of self-control leads to irrational responses. Remember, we cannot do just anything we want to do. We must always be willing to stop and consider what we are thinking, how we are feeling, and then use self-control to make a choice that is positive and moral. That means applying Yahweh's laws. Pastor gave us a great way to help us do this. In the 7th book of Israel, part 2, Pastor says, someone the other day, let me give you an example. I know you're depressed. I know you're hurting. Yahweh has put you under pressure to see whether you would fold or not. And that's the reason we have the pressure on us. But he's put you under pressure. And someone told me the other day they used a 4-letter word that they used back when they were a child. And they said, you know, I tried so hard to get this out of their life. But anyway, I said, I found something that would help. I found a way to work that out. I said, set you up some accidents on your own. Put something you could stumble over, but have it made up in your mind already. You're going to say, either praise Yahweh, or Yahweh help me, or Yahweh catch me, or whatever. If you can turn over in your books to Yahweh to page 960. Page 960. It's 1 Kefa 4, verse 12 and 13. And it says, but beloved, do not be amazed concerning the fiery trials which you must undergo in order to be tested as though some alien thing were befalling you. But rejoice in the fact that you are partakers of the Messiah's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So in conclusion, I'd like to remind you what it says in Yeshub 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take, and when he has finished trying me, I will come forth as gold. And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
I'd like to turn it over to the first speaker, future priest Deacon Jacob Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is Fasting and Prayer. Now first, from fasting, from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's word number 6685 in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance in the Hebrew, and it means fast. It's from 6684, and it means to cover over or to abstaining from physical nourishment. Now prayer, from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's word number 6739 in the Hebrew, and it means in the sense of bowing or prayer and a request to Yahweh. Now, if you turn to Matithia 6, that's found on page 732, Matithia 6, and we'll start in verse 6. It says, but you, when you pray, Go into the secret place, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use mindless repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard only because they speak so much. So Yeshua is telling you there, don't do a mindless repetition. Don't just repeat yourself over and over every prayer you do. Don't just repeat yourself. Actually pray. Take your time to pray. It says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, fasting and prayer is to get you closer to Yahweh. Now, if you turn to Yana, and that's also what atonement is for, to get you closer to Yahweh. Yana 3, and we'll start on verse 3. It says, so Yana rose up and went to Nineveh. Now, first, I'd like to show you from the Yishel Hawkins Says program, the sixth book of Yisrael, chapter 3, verse 106, it says, Nineveh could be compared with something like New York City today. It was huge, well-built, and a strong city that could not be penetrated, like Tyre. Yahweh said Tyre was the same, and that it would be destroyed, and they would hang fishing nets out to dry where it used to be. No city will ever be built there again. Nineveh was the same way. Yahweh said it was going to be destroyed, and years later, this took place. Now, Pastor said at the beginning, Nineveh was like New York City. So here's a picture for you. That's New York City. As you can see, there's the One World Tower. And that's New York. You see how well built it is. All the buildings, the towers. Pastor said it's just like Nineveh. So continuing in verse 3, it says, so Yana rose up and went to Nineveh according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, requiring 3 days' journey to travel to it. So Yana began to enter the city for a day's journey. And he cried out and said, only 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Yahweh and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the most insignificant of them. For when the word came to the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he made a proclamation, a command, and commanded in Nineveh by a decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry out to Yahweh zealously. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. So you see there, he rose up and he covered himself in sackcloth and ashes and he prayed to Yahweh. They proclaimed the fast and they prayed to Yahweh to get closer to Yahweh. Now also, if you turn to Daniel 6, that's found on page 677. Daniel 6, and we'll start at verse 10. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree was signed, he went into his house, and in his upper room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times in a day and prayed and gave thanks before Yahweh just as he had done before. Then these men assembled and discovered Daniel praying and making supplication before Yahweh. So you see there, even he prayed to Yahweh 3 times a day. Now, in the Yisrael Arkansas program, the 12th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 21, verse 79, it says, "Think each moment. Think each moment. Pray to Yahweh every morning. First thing when you wake up, pray for guidance and inspiration. Pray that you won't be doing things without thinking anymore. Think about it. You know, we're made. Yahweh created us so we could think. He created us to where we could act on a cloud, or we could actually think the thing out. Stop. Remember that. Stop. That lesson, think and choose what is right. Choose what has been taught to you. Choose according to the rules and regulations that Yahweh has given you, and He will choose you as one of His sons or daughters." Now, Pastor there is talking about the STOP acronym, as we learn in the Peaceful Solution. To stop, think, consider your options, and then proceed with the right choice. Also, from the fourth book of Yisrael, Lying and Betrayal, number 7, verse 72, it says, "I know it's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's very hard to find a private place to pray, especially when you're working with someone else or in the world. It's hard sometimes to find a way to get down on your knees at noon and pray to Yahweh. But it's an example set in your scriptures and should be followed. You are to pray 3 times a day without ceasing, without ever breaking the chain. This is something every one of us needs to bring under control, and it should be a part of our everyday life. Pray without ceasing." Now, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, that's found on page 930, 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll start at verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are unruly, not keeping in ranks or out of order among you. Comfort the downhearted, support the weak, be patient towards all. See that no one pays back evil for evil to any." That's retaliation. He's telling you not to do it. "But always pursue that which is righteous, both among yourselves and towards all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." That's what Pastor was quoting. To pray without ceasing. "In everything, giving thanks. For this is the will of Yahweh in Yahshua Messiah for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not neglect the prophecies. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is righteous, and abstain from every appearance of evil." Now we know what evil is. Genesis 3:5, the gods know evil. So it says abstain from every appearance of evil. Now last, from the 8th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 10, verse 32, it says, "Now I'm not forcing you to fast 10 days. I'm not forcing you to fast one day. That's between you and Yahweh. But fasting and prayer, according to the scriptures, helps tremendously. Prayer alone helps tremendously. And that's the reason I asked you to pray 3 times a day. At least 3 times a day. So we could pray more than that. But at least pray 3 times a day. You can pray more than that if you can, but 3 times a day, and have a serious prayer to Yahweh." Now that's all the time. Remember, pray. That's how, we're not perfect, but we're striving to be perfect. And Yahweh will answer your prayers. Now if y'all please stand. That's all the time I have. I'll turn it over to the great Khan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Shalom, purple people leaders. I didn't say eaters, I said leaders. All right, let me get my pictures up here because I got some really exciting news. I can get this up. Got a big announcement here for you. Find my, there we go. Okay, have you heard the news? Extra, extra. Yisrael Hawkins says now online. You can see, you can go to YisraelHawkinsSays.com or YisraelSays.com. Now, you can access anything in the books of Israel, all the pastor's teachings, at the click of a button. In fact, it's very, very fast, too. It's got a search engine right there. It's got all the books. So now, this is accessible to the whole world. Just in time for this great harvest that's taking place, which we're going to talk about today. And by the way, this came out yesterday. Yesterday on 9/18, this came out. And I'm just going to give you a little bit here. 9/18 means to restore. Restoring the pure word of Yahweh. But it also means to mend and repair. And it's from this word here, 9/19, and it means, this is still 9/18. Some of the examples are the house of Yahweh to restore and repair the house. And remember what the house of Yahweh is. Building the house of Yahweh is bringing the people. Building Yahweh's people. It also means, it's from 9/19, and it means to breach. A breach. Now, there's going to be a lot more sermons brought on this very in the near future, but here's a breach is an act of breaking or failing to observe a law, agreement, or code of conduct, like a breach of confidence. You know, that reminds me of something else I need to show you. I got all these phones everywhere, but this I got last night, you know. Extra, extra. I'm getting a press release every single Friday night. I'm getting a press release. And hopefully you're also signed up on the YPN News emails. But says Yisrael Hawkins announces two ways to stop police shootings in new posts this week. That's from yesterday, September 18th. You know, there is a breach of confidence amongst the police and the citizens of America. So there's going to be, we are the repairers, and you're going to be learning more about that. That's not my sermon today, but some others will be bringing things on that very soon. Now, on Feast of Trumpets, I forgot to show you just a few days ago. Let me give you a rundown first before I explain this. The boys, there was seven trumpeters up on the roof. Where we spot the new moon, and they were facing south. And they blew the trumpet seven times the morning on the Feast of Trumpets between 8:08 and 8:09. At 8:09, a very remarkable thing took place right after the seventh blast. A huge blast of cold air came from the south, the direction they were facing. And let me show you what was in that. These clouds came out of nowhere. I mean, there was many witnesses out there that saw this. These clouds came out of nowhere, and one of them looked like this. Now, I'm just going to show you this. But what you're seeing right here is the blast wave from the trumpets going south. Right here is the generator. You can see that? So that shows you that this is actually going south, away from the trumpet blast. It was on the south end of the building. By the way, I have a prediction to make. This generator will not pass away before all these things are fulfilled. Now, an amazing thing occurred here, and I'm going to show you what you're going to see. It's a picture of Pastor, actually. Let's see if I can blow it up. Am I holding it right? Oh, there it is. Okay. Here you see Pastor with his ear like this toward the trumpet blast. Okay? His ear is very enlarged there. Yahweh has a great sense of humor. Okay? But that represents the house of Yahweh hearing the seventh Moloch, the seventh trumpeter in these last days that the world is also going to hear as well. So hope that's great encouragement for you. And by the way, 809, now remember last time I spoke, I gave you the definition of 1934. So I looked up 809, and it means, it's from 847, and it means raisin cakes. And then it's from 847, which is Eshtol, and it says, that means, I can't remember out of hand. It says it's probably from this word right here, shall. So I went there. Which is word number 7592, and it means to ask and inquire. Do you remember all the things about 1934 last sermon? To ask, inquire, asking, beg, seek, demand, earnestly seek, or earnestly ask. And here's the definition of 1934 I gave you last week. I seek after, desire, search for, seek after, desire, search for, make inquiries about, seek. Coincidence? Well, sure. All right. So keep those things in your mind, because today, hey, guess who's coming? Here's the this week's cover of People Magazine, just in time for Pope Francis's visit. And I want to show you, this is pretty interesting. He says he loves soccer and selfies, dances the tango, and eats more pasta than he should. An up-close look at the charming rebel. Isn't that an interesting choice of words, this charming rebel? Because that's exactly what he is. He's a rebel. He's Nimrod. He's the rebel. In fact, his whole papal enclave shows that. Before I get into that, let me read this to you. This is from the Second Vatican Council that I told you about here recently. I just want to read a pertinent portion here. It says, Vatican II Council, Constitution on the Church, instructs politicians to use their secular offices to advance the cause of Roman Catholicism. Catholic laypersons, wherever they are, are called upon to expend all their energy for the growth of the Church and its continuous sanctification, and to make the Church present and operative in those places and circumstances where only through them can it become the salt of the earth. So the Catholics have been instructed, you need to do everything that you can to bring forth this Catholic Church. Put your whole energy into it. So now you remember, Pope Francis was elected on 3/13/13. By the way, Bullinger's tells you, I gave a sermon on 13, but I only gave you one side of the coin. Here in the House of Yahweh, we've got to give you two sides. The world doesn't do that. The Supreme Court doesn't do that. They only give you their side of the story. But the number 13 also denotes rebellion. Rebellion against Yahweh. Okay? Remember, there's two sides to the coin. He was elected on 3/13/13. And in the European date format, that's 13/3. Remember, he's the 266th Pope. And 133 or 13/3 is half of 266. We went over that. I had to remind you again, because very important for us to remember these things. Remember the papal enclave, or conclave, when he was elected, shows that on February, 13 days after Benedict resigned, he was elected. It says, white smoke was seen emanating from the Sistine Chapel chimney on the 13th of March at 7:06. 7 and 6 is 13. He was also 76 years old when he was elected. 7 and 6 is 13. Let me tell you some other amazing coincidences of how the number 11 or number 13 is encoded in the Pope. Pope Francis was elected on the 13th March 2013. If you add the numbers 13, 3, 2013, it adds up to 13. The date adds up to 13 if you add every number. He was elected 13 days after Benedict resigned. He appeared 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's 13, and he was 76 years old. He was also named after a 13th century monk, Francis of Assisi, okay? And he was elected 13 years into this new century. Very interesting facts. Also, the word Pope in the Gematria adds to 52, and this is in simple Gematria, which is 13, 13, 13, 13. Remember what the man of sin, he's Pope number 266. Remember that means sin. He's the man of lawlessness, okay? Everything points to him being the man of lawlessness in these last days. By the way, he's going to the White House on September 23rd, and September 23rd, or White House, equals 133 in Gematria, in simple Gematria. Well, here's Pope Francis just last month congratulating the Knights of Columbus leader, one of their secret societies. Pope Francis has sent his good wishes to the Knights of Columbus, who are currently holding their 133rd Supreme Convention in Philadelphia. This was last month. I'm sure that guy went to the Vatican to meet with Pope Francis. Okay. Now I want you to... It's really hard to keep all these facts in mind, but you're going to have to try to recall a lot of things. If I have to go over things every time, it's going to be very, very difficult because there's so much to this. But let's go back and visit Philadelphia again. Y'all remember the train wreck in Philadelphia? On May 12th, when Pastor had a dream about a wreck, where that didn't occur? Okay? This Philadelphia train derailment, I talked about this before, but it was on May 12, 2015. Now, I'm going to show you some things that I didn't show you last time about this. There was 7 cars on that train, and it was led by a lead locomotive. The lead locomotive was number 601. Shows you that right here. Locomotive number 601. I want to show you what that means. Very important. It means apocalypse or revelation. That's where the word revelation comes from. To uncover, to reveal, to bring to light. To bring to light. There's the word revelation. Okay? That's what the word revelation came from, is apocalypse. It's number 601. That's the lead train. Also, remember the crash occurred at 9:23 p.m. And this was on video and everything. They had all this documented. It was en route from Washington, D.C. to New York, and it stopped in Philadelphia. Washington, New York, Philadelphia. Right? Washington, New York, Philadelphia, the same places that the Pope is visiting at this time. The train consisted of 7 cars hauled by a year-old Amtrak Sprinter, locomotive number 601. Now get this. The crash occurred near the intersection of Frank Ford and Wheat Sheaf Lane. Y'all remember what Frank meant? Well, let me remind you. Francis and Frank are the same. And it means free or Frankish. And frankly, this is not a coincidence. Frank means free and liberal. Catholic means liberal, doesn't it? It means broad, like Yahshua warned you. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go that way. It also is where the word Frankfurter comes from. I guess even the pig is related to him too, right? See that right there? He's associated with the pig. Now a Ford, Frank Ford, A ford is a shallow place in a body of water where you can cross. Where you can cross. Now remember, this intersection was at Frank Ford and Wheatsheaf Lane. So, Francis, what is a wheatsheaf? Here you go. Here's a wheatsheaf. A sheaf is one of the large bundles in which cereal plants are bound, meaning like grain, are bound after reaping so they are convenient for threshing out the grain. And there's a picture of a wheatsheaf right there. Y'all see that? Frankford, so at the corner of Francis, Pope Francis, and this great wheat harvest that's taking place, this accident occurred, right? Anybody think that's a coincidence? Do you think maybe that they think they're going to derail the house of Yahweh? Oh no, the gates of hell will not derail the house of Yahweh. They're going to be derailed, and I'm going to show you how they're going to be derailed. Now, remember, make sure I have this covered. Remember, this was on the same day Pastor had his dream about Yahweh being in complete control. Now, there was a movie, there was a shooting in Lafayette, Louisiana. Let me get this lined up. There was a shooting in a Lafayette movie theater on July 23rd, which is actually 7/23 or 9/23, because remember, September is the seventh month in Latin, remember? It occurred at the Grand 16 movie theater in Lafayette, Louisiana. John Russell Hauser, age 59, opened fire during a showing of the film Trainwreck. Trainwreck. Huh. Okay, so Trainwreck. They're watching Trainwreck. Here's the trailer for the movie Trainwreck. One of the stars in there is a basketball player named LeBron James. LeBron James. There you go. LeBron James in Jewish gematria equals 923. Can't show that part. Let me get down here. He plays with the Cleveland Cavaliers and he's number 23. And, very interestingly, in his early life, this is from Wikipedia, he played with four guys that were like considered to be real promising champs. It says, in a move that stirred local controversy, him and his three friends chose to attend St. Vincent St. Mary High School, a largely white private Catholic school. So what about this event with the train wreck? When did this take place? Between May 12th, when the train wreck took place, and the day the Pope comes, there's 133 days. Coincidence, House of Yahweh? Remember 13:3 or 1:3:3. Remember those things. May 13th is very important. By the way, the next day, May 13th, is when the Pope recognized Palestine, if y'all remember. So 133 days from that day would be 9:23. May 13th is very significant to the Catholics. I remember Pope John Paul II was shot on May 13th. The Fatima vision was on May 13th and October 13th. It was every month from May leading up to October, the Virgin Mary appeared in the sky doing these miraculous signs and wonders, lying signs and wonders. Okay, now remember, when the Pope goes to Philadelphia, he's going to the largest family gathering, bringing together families from all over the world. So this is not just a bunch of people from Philadelphia. It's from people from all over the world. And the first place, the first city this took place in, it's only every 3 years, It took place in Rome in 1994. That was the first gathering of the World Gathering of Families. And then every other 3 years, they moved to other places. This is the first time they've had it in America. Okay, let me not lose my train of thought here. Okay. I want to show you, have you ever heard of ley lines? Ley lines are earth energy lines. That the whole earth is on a grid that these people have set up. So they make their temples and their cities, their major cities with their obelisks and all these other things on these lines. As you can see here, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington and all of them are on the same exact line. Okay? These are called energy lines or ley lines. Here's an example of ley lines in Nazi Germany. In Poland, in the concentration camps, they had them all set up on these. There's Treblinka, one of the most notorious. They had them set up on these, what they call ley lines or energy lines. So when you see a pentagram, you're taught to think, well, that's evil. You know, that's the Christians all think, well, that's evil. But to them, these are actual energy lines that draw energy, that they draw energy from. There's a lot on that. I don't have time to go into it. But this gentleman here did a grid on that area right there. Here's the earth grid ley line node. Here's the main node, and here's the... Notice it's shaped like a Pope's hat. And notice each letter here adds up... Each number here on each grid adds up to 7. 777. Some people study these things, okay? And they know about these things. By the way, speaking of 777, this caught my attention right away. This reporter that was shot in Franklin County. Notice 777 there. Here's her studio where they switched, where they were doing a little memoriam of her that same morning. Notice the three sevens behind them. Remember, 777 in Jewish gematria means order out of chaos. There's the seven. Seven down here, and the seven over here. Okay, they go out of their way to make sure you see those three sevens. Y'all can't see that? So who's behind this? We'll just follow the money. M-A-S-O-N. Okay? Where do they come from? Remember the Church of Gisu? The mother church of the Jesuits in Rome? The Church of the Most Holy Name of Jesus at the Argentina? Let me show you something here, because, you know, there's no coincidences. We went to Argentina. Here's a picture of the Argentine flag. Here's the Jesuit flag. Look at them again. By the way, they'll tell you that means something about Jesus, but it really has something to... Well, it does have something to do about Jesus. Isis, Horus, and Set, the Trinity gods that these people worship. Okay, now, I want to tell you, Yahweh's laying this out in such a way. Why don't you turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, found on page... 1 Thessalonians 5, found on page 930, quickly. Because what Yahweh's been showing us about the Pope's visit, you know, there's actually an order to this, and there's a message to the house of Yahweh that's encoded in this. Now, I have to remind you, got it buried over here. Let me see if I can find it. I needed to remind you about, I don't know if I found what I did with it. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here it is. Remember the Pope? They're having their International Day of Peace on the 21st of September, the day before the Pope comes. And remember, the Pope is the man of sin, the man of perdition, the son of perdition, the man of destruction. And let's read this together. But concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly, you know, seven, the number seven means perfect, that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night. For when they will say peace, true peace on September 21st, now I'm not saying that, remember, I'm not telling you nuclear war is going to start then. What I'm telling you is, this is what's encoded in this message. For when they will say peace, true peace on the 21st, then on the 22nd, sudden destruction comes, or the son of perdition is coming, who comes upon them as labor pains on a woman with child on the 23rd. Remember, the 266th day, the 23rd, means is the gestation period, 266 days for a woman with child. Sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a woman with child. They will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, house of Yahweh, that this day would overtake you like a thief. You are all the children of light. Remember their week of light, their weekend of light that they're talking about? On the 25th, 26th, and 27th. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, or let us not continue sinning as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now turn quickly over to Revelation chapter 3. Because remember, all these things are pointed out in the scriptures, and they're being played out by these robbers. These robbers are playing these things out. You know, that's why, like in Daniel 9:22-27, well, the Pope's coming 9:22-9:27. And the last verse, 9:27, remember, says, he will make a covenant with many for 1 week. Well, what does e pluribus unum mean? Out of one, many. Many ones. They're playing this out, okay? But Yahweh's exposing them. Okay, now Revelation 3:7 talks about the Philadelphia group. 3:7 talks about the Philadelphia group. I'll lose my notes. There it is. The church in Philadelphia. Remember the world gathering of families in Philadelphia? They're trying to make out like they're the Philadelphia group that's gathering this coming Sunday, this next coming Sunday. But it's not talking about them. This is talking about the house of Yahweh at Abel. And it says, and to the Moloch of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, he says, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. No, the CERN machine won't do it. They're not going to get in. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. And no, the open door is not the CERN machine. And no man can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Now notice, remember the number 133. Go to Revelation 3:13. Or actually, verse 10 first. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world to test those who dwell on the earth. And we talked about that testing last week, word number 928, meant to test, the touchstone. Okay, and it says, hold fast your crown, which so no man takes your crown. And then in verse 13, or 3:13, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. Now, go to Daniel 10:14. Daniel 10, verse 14, and I'll show you. We know who these people are. They're the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians that are trying to make these things come about. Remember, order out of chaos. By the way, last night, here's a picture of a phoenix. They call it an eagle, but it's really the phoenix. It's kind of hidden. But remember their order out of chaos? There's the picture of the phoenix. Last night while I was studying about the phoenix, and now that Yahweh's my witness, a great Kohan in Yahweh's house emailed or sent me this picture on my text. And he goes, Kohan, I think I'm seeing a phoenix. right when I was studying, I'd sent them my papers, I'd shown them pictures of the paper, and I said, man, I'm studying that right this moment. You see that? And it's rising up out of the ashes here, because that's what the phoenix does. Order out of chaos is what they call it. Okay, now let's read these two scriptures real quick. Daniel 10, first verse 14. It says on page 682, now I have come to make you understand what will befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days yet to come. And then go over to 11:14. He says, and in those times, or in these last days, there will be many who stand up against the king of the south. Also, the robbers among your people will exalt themselves to establish the vision. But they will fall. They will fail. Their train's going to wreck. It's not going to be the house of Yahweh that's going to wreck. It's going to be these robbers that are trying to exalt and make these prophecies come true. Remember, they're going to bring destruction. They're going to do it purposely. They know what they're doing. They are going to depopulate this earth. Okay? My last scripture, I want to remind you of... by the way, there's also another comet that they're looking at that's going to be... or the earth is going to be crossing the plane of this comet on the 23rd. And it's called Bennu. Isn't this an interesting... this is from 1999, September 23rd, this picture. And notice the measurement here? Really? No, the comet's not going to hit the earth. And Bennu, by the way, is where it's the ancient Egyptian deity linked with the sun. It may have been the inspiration for the phoenix in Greek mythology. It's also called the Lord of the Jubilees. Remember they're having their jubilee? And means to rise in brilliance or to shine. Pastor wrote this right here, this newsletter. You need to go back and read this again. It's from 5-2012. I just want to read you one section here where he talks about the light. The prophets of Yahweh said Yahweh's laws are the light of Yahweh, which guide mankind to the perfection and the image and likeness of Yahweh. And he gives Psalm 119, 104, and Psalm 119, 105. The laws are a lamp, a light to our feet and to our path. They give understanding to the simple. And he goes on to talk about these robbers in the keys of this blood that Malachi Martin wrote about that rebelled against Samuel. These same robbers that took over the temple, the Pharisees, he says, did the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes persecute those who taught the laws of Yahweh as they do now? They beheaded Yochanan the Immerser, then came Yahshua from Galilee preaching repentance. Well, they killed him too. Did they accept the light preached by the Savior? No, in fact, they hated what he preached. So they persecuted him and killed him by hanging him on a stake. The light Yochanan and Yahshua brought is shown. The light is in the plan of Yahweh. And he goes on to talk about Yochanan 1:1-13, where it talks about, in the plan was life, and that life was the light to mankind. Did the apostles teach a different light? Light after Yahshua's death? No. Remember, 1 Yochanan 3:9 says, whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and it's possible for him not to sin. Go back and read this about the light so you can learn about, and this is from 5:12. Remember, pastors... dream on 5:12 of all times, right? This is 3 years ago, and he's talking about this light that they're proclaiming right now, this false light. And like I said, they're getting ready to bring about a big destruction, okay? But if you're in the true light, if you're walking in the light, the laws of Yahweh, and you're keeping Sabbaths here at the house of Yahweh, and you're listening to all the priest tells you to do, and you're following what the priest tells you, you can't fail. You won't fail. You won't be deceived along with this world. Okay? The world knows something's taking place, but they don't understand because they're not the house of Yahweh. But brothers and sisters, we're at the intersection of Francis and Wheat Sheaf. You understand? We're at the corner, at the intersection right now. And those robbers will fail, but the house of Yahweh will prevail and will not derail. And at this time, I'd like to present to you the great Kohen, Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Well, continuing, remember what Yahshua once again told us in Matithiah chapter 24, how there would be earthquakes in place after place, disease, pestilence, epidemics. There would be wars and rumors of wars. And later on, we see that he says the love of many will grow cold. And that's what we see in our world today. The news is going to start out with the largest earthquake of 2015. It occurred off the coast of Chile. And of course, it was 8.3 on the Richter scale, and that was pretty devastating. Tsunami warnings as far as Hawaii, Peru, but we see the earth crying out. And then we're going to take a look at Japan. Remember, we've been bringing out before how Japan was looking to reinterpret their constitution. They have been a very pacifist country since World War II, and they haven't been involved in wars, but they were looking to reinterpret so that if an ally of Japan went to war, that they would be able to join in that war, which welcomes NATO into their country. They're taking on that character of NATO. Well, watch the reaction. They say over 50% of the citizens of Japan want nothing to do with war. They want nothing to do with this joining other countries in war. Your heart kind of goes out to Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who is the leader, who is doing what he's told to do. And that's what you see. He's doing what he's told. But watch the reaction of the Japanese government. Watch the fighting take place when they do the ceremony of the signing of the reinterpretation of this constitution, which was written by the United States, by the way. And then Russia and United States, tensions building. Russia is saying to the United States, we need to join. We need to come together to fight this terrorist. The United States is saying the terrorist is Assad. We need to fight him first. And there's a huge disagreement taking place. And, of course, the war is there. Watch very closely the interview at the Pentagon when the spokesperson at the Pentagon makes the comment that we've been training fighters to fight these terrorists. $500 million we've spent. And the lady very clearly says, all four of them? Because that's all is there, four of them. We had 10. They went into action. Some ran off, some died. Four left. $500 million. Well, the money was most likely spent, but not in that direction. But don't play into much of what they're saying. Watch what's taking place. If we wanted to put an end to this, we could put an end to it. You know, and go back, when you see this, go back and watch Japan, who hasn't had war in a while. Watch their riot. In Japan, it's a riot anyway. Watch the people of Japan. They're speaking out in huge numbers. You're going to see cops there holding up the barricade fence. They have no guns, they have no tear gas, they have no batons. They're just there holding up a fence. The people step across, they back away and let them go. You don't see punches thrown. But this is a country that's been trained to not be at war for 42 years. Well, they're trying to go back the way of Cain due to what they've been told to do. That's what we see with Russia. That's what we see with the United States. And don't forget what Federica Mogherini said. Now, she's the representative, highest representative of the EU. She clearly said that at the UN assembly, they will have the quartet, remember, which is UN hosting it. You have Russia, you have the United States, you have the EU. They also invited Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the leader of the Arab League, which is also an Egyptian. And don't think for a moment that these are RSVP invitations. They're commands. You come, you show up, you get your orders. And that's what's taking place. Well, Mahmoud Abbas has said he has a bombshell to drop at the UN, and he will not release what it is until September 29th when he gives his speech. And then remember what Pastor said about the worship of the dead, this coming out of Pharaoh, worshiping leaders, these religious leaders, the pharaohs, the rabbis, and of course the popes, they make them saints. Well, and watch what they're doing in Iraq. Iraq is beefing up security so they can have a celebration of the death of their imam, which are their religious leaders. It's the same thing that we're seeing with the Catholic Church, this worship of the dead, this following of the dead. And you can see how the Catholics have their hand, they have a hold on these religions. It's all part of that same religion that came out of Egypt. And then, of course, you're going to see the abuse of these refugees. And think about this for a moment, okay? These refugees, you're going to see children, babies so young they can't even walk, and they're shooting them with tear gas. Think about what kind of heart it takes to shoot a woman holding a child with tear gas. And then if we wanted to put an end to it, if there was a pope that wanted to bring peace, couldn't he do something? Couldn't he say something? Well, what he wants is taking place. What he wants is taking place. Remember, he's looking to depopulate. There's no care for these people. Palestinians are calling for a day of rage due to what's taking place in the Temple Mount. Jews are going in and praying now. Even an article released this week showing Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, actually going into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and praying in the mosque. You know, very universal with his way of praying there. Not at the wall, but inside the mosque. And Muslims are saying that they're defiling it. They don't want them there. And of course, tensions are growing, but pay close attention. The EU is getting involved. Jordan is getting involved. Remember, those two countries are the one agency and the country being summoned for this meeting, but there's a fight taking place. There is a fight taking place, and of course, instructions are going to be given. Like Pastor said long ago, there's a lot of war, but Pope Francis will sweep in and he will bring much peace. When you're the cause of the problem, it's not hard to start trying to make it look like you're solving the problem. And then we're going to end with Catholics, the Pope coming to the U.S., but they're saying many Catholics are leaving the Catholic Church. In fact, if you listen to them, the Catholic Church is fallen. Its parishioners are leaving. They're tired of being molested. They're tired of being treated like trash by the leaders who are full of perversions. So at this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahn Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
It's a beautiful day, and praise to Yahweh. We're all yours, Yahweh. You may be... We're all yours, Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'm going to get quickly into this because... If you'll just pay attention to what's taking place with the news and, of course, with the house of Yahweh, you can see Revelations 13 coming into action here. Revelations 13 and shows the not only the first beast, but it shows the United States also, the two religions, Protestant and Catholics. The Holy See flag is set to be raised quietly the morning of the September the 25th, along with the flags of the UN's 193 member states, showing the power over these 193 member states. The world leaders at the 193 member General Assembly on September the 25th will likely stress poverty and bad government. And Pope will meet with Russia. Pope will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin, whose country holds the rotating presidency of the UN Security Council this month. Now they're the ones. This is the rotating council that says which nation is going to stand and which falls. And Russia has a vote in that this coming month. And the Pope is going to meet with him before he has that. Meet with him in person. Let me get this straight here. I don't know how much of this. I didn't get to listen to all the sermons this morning, but I know our young priests have been working on this on the 18th, 9/18. Is everybody listening? 9/18. This was yesterday. 9/18, I was called and told that our Yisrael Says program is now up and running and you can get it on your phone. 9/18. While I had them on the line, I looked up this number, 9/18, and it means to repair. It comes from 9/19,
which means a breach, repair a breach, in a building, and it shows house of Yahweh. That breach, praise Yahweh, that breach is, of course, to unify, to repair this breach, to unify it. Strong's. This Strong's Concordance. I meant to get you a Brown and Driver, but I can tell you what it says. That is Brown and Driver. Yes, that was Brown and Driver. Shows the house of Yahweh to repair a breach. That is to bring to unity. In Strong's, it says the root to open, a gap, open. Used only as a denomination from 919 to mend a breach or repair. Mend the breach or repair as a building, as in a building, a breach or gap. Now, if you remember, that should bring to mind the scripture in Isaiah 58. I think our priests are going to bring this out a number of times, but you got to read this and tie it in with today's news, with the visits of the Pope and what he's planning on doing, because he hates this very thing right here that I'm fixing to show you. In Isaiah 58, in verse 12, found on page 567, you need to mark that in your books of Yahweh. And everyone out there in radio and TV land and computer land, you need to really study this with your book of Yahweh and notice the center references also. But write these scriptures down that I'm going to give you here and restudy them later over and over, and you'll see what I'm about to tell you is truth, and it's all going to come to pass. Isaiah 58, 12. Remember what this number meant when the Yisrael says program. Yisrael says, that's all you have to do to put it in your phone. You mash browse, open your phone, mash browse or search, and just type in, no www, you don't have to put it that even. All you have to put is, it's all one word, YisraelSays.com. YisraelSays.com, push your go button, and it's there. Now, you may have a screwed up phone that won't do it, I don't know, but that will do it on my phone, and it's doing it on everybody else's phone, unless you got one that's different. Sometimes you have to go to Google, I think, but I think it's just a mistake being made. It's also, it's YisraelSays.com or YisraelHawkinsSays.com. Both of them are up and running. The Book of Yahweh is in there also. And the references is going in right now as I speak on this 919. Yeah, it should be up and running next week. Well, Isaiah 58, verse 12, if you have that on open now and read it, and those of you will rebuild the old waste places, you will raise up the foundations of many generations, you will be called the repairer of the breach. Repairer of the breach. Now, notice what he's speaking of here. If, he's got the if there, if you will turn away your foot, you will be called the repairer of the breach. If you will turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and will honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor engaging in idle conversation, then you will find your joy in Yahweh, And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of who? Seemed to me like we talked about him a little last week. I have a lot more to say. Now these appointments with Yahweh, this is what the Catholic Church hates, and also all of Christianity. It was told to me that they were using the city officials now to command the people to go to church on Sunday. And this was going on right here in Abilene. And you could find this on Facebook, they said. And I said, really? Really? The officials? You mean elected officials? Yeah. Archibald, they said, was telling the people, find you a church to go to this Sunday and go to church on Sunday. Well, of course, I haven't seen the article, but you could look at it if you want to. But this is what they're hating right here. This is a calendar that gives Yahweh's appointments. And, of course, this Yahweh's appointments is what is a shadow that Yahweh says will keep you from this horrible thing that Christianity is going to bring, is bringing right now. These wars and things that have started, they're not going to stop. They're going to kill their enemies and wipe them out and get agreements, and they'll say, now we can have peace because the Catholic Church is ruling the world, that in Christianity, and then the sudden destruction comes. Well, of course, this week, today is the 19th, on the 23rd, that is Wednesday at sunset, that evening starts the great day of atonement. You need that day. You need that atonement. The repair of the breach, this is it, atonement. Yes, that break you, it'll bring you back into contact with Yahweh. Repent and let that breach close between you and the house of Yahweh. As the ad said, just study, study, study. But the Day of Atonement, the 23rd, at sunset starts the Day of Atonement, that is Thursday or the 5th day of September. And then we have a preparation day the next day for the weekly Sabbath. And then we have another, after the weekly Sabbath, we have two more days, or one more day, and then a preparation day, the 28th, for the great Feast of Tabernacles. That is what the world hates. And that's the reason they're telling their officials. But it's going to get much stronger than that. I'll show you that in the Holy Scriptures. But the reason the world is cut off, and they're wanting you to rest on Sunday in celebration of the sun god Baal Lord. Yes, they want you to keep December 25th in honor of the sun god Baal Lord, whose birthday was December 25th. And of course, they're cut off from Yahweh, as you see there in Isaiah 59. They want you to be cut off from Yahweh. They want all Sabbath keepers, who all of Yahweh's calling in this generation, to be cut off. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It's going to save you from this mess the world is getting into here. Nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your own iniquities. That's doing away with Yahweh's laws. Separated you from your father, and your own sins have caused him to hide his face from you, so he will not answer. Your gods, the sun gods that they're wanting you to worship, you know, they prayed to that sun god for rain and got $400 million in damage, in hail. And I challenged them to pray for 6 inches or 8 inches of rain without hail and high water. And so far they haven't done that. Or maybe they did secretly and found out secretly this God's not answering their prayer. The sun god Baal, the Sunday god Baal, does not answer prayer. He has no power to answer prayer. That's told to you in the same book of Isaiah that tells you why you're cut off from Yahweh. From breaking my holy Sabbath cuts you off from Yahweh. It plainly tells you there in Isaiah 58, 12 through 14. And then Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tells you. Well, we're out speaking the word of Yahweh. This is on Times Square today. We're showing them how to stop shooting police from police from shooting people and how to stop people from shooting the police. They're fighting back, you know, revenge, retaliation. They're really fighting back, and that is going out to millions, millions and millions of people right there. This appointment with Yahweh. There's a national movement, I'm told, a national movement to further rebel against Yahweh's appointments of the Sabbath, to get people to go back to church on Sunday. These are people that have quit the churches. Well, this Exodus 20, if you turn there, you'll see here that these, I want to show you, get it in your mind, that these are appointments with Yahweh, that Colossians says is a shadow that you can let people knock you out of. It says, don't do it. Don't let them condemn you for this. Don't let them change your mind by saying these laws are done away with. The Pope has no power to do away with the law. That's asking the sun god Baal to send them 3 inches of rain without hail. They can't answer your prayers. Yahweh says there is no gods. There is none. They're dead. They can't do anything. They know nothing. That's the Lord's. They're dead. Read Unger's Bible Dictionary. Unger's Bible Dictionary, under the word Lord, it means dead rabbi, dead pharaohs, dead popes. They declare him a saint? What difference does that make? That don't make him alive again or knowing anything. Pray to all those dead ones. Did they ever get a prayer answered? No. Heavens, no. They can't even hear you. The dead know not anything. They claim they believe their Bibles. Their Bible says that. The dead know not anything. Here in Exodus 20, verse 8, says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Didn't say remember the Sunday or the first day of the week, does it? Well, where is that found? Book of Hezekiah? 13th chapter of Hezekiah, bit somewhere in there. There's no commandment for it. Yeshua said, blessed are those that keep his commandments. He didn't say blessed are those that keep the Pope's commandments. The Pope is worshiping the sun god Baal, and they readily admit he's asleep. Benedict actually said it. The Lord is asleep. Well, here he tells you to keep holy the seventh day Sabbath. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. If you look over to Genesis 2:2, you'll see that Yahweh, don't turn, I'll just quote it to you, I've got to hurry. You'll see that Yahweh rested. He did his creation on 6 days, and he rested the seventh day, and he hallowed the seventh day, not the first day. Do you get that? He didn't hallow the first day. He hallowed the seventh day and made it holy. He made it holy, made this an appointment, a holy appointment, where he says, I will be there to greet you. I will be there. Adam and Eve didn't show up, did they? They didn't show up for their appointment. And Abel went looking for them and says, why aren't you here? Why didn't you come to services? Why didn't you keep your appointment with Yahweh on one of his Sabbaths? Well, they were ashamed. They're out here trying to get sun gods to answer their prayers. knowing full well they weren't going to get it done. Well, Genesis 2 said that he rested the seventh day, and that's the day he made holy. Hebrews said there still, Hebrews 4 says there still remains the Sabbath, keeping of the Sabbath for the people of Yahweh. They tried to deceive you in the translation of the King James Version. That's a version, a rendition of the book of Yahweh, and they rendered it keeping of a rest. Well, they also, the scholars, put a little mark by the side of that in Hebrews 4 and shows in the center reference that Sabbath that they translated a rest because they're still trying to hide the fact that the seventh day Sabbath is still in action. Even though the Pope changed it, Pope Constantine, it's still in action. Well, look now and turn to Exodus 31:13. This is what the blessing is. This is a wonderful blessing right here that Yahweh shows us. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you will keep, for they are a sign. That word actually means mark, as Strong's Concordance shows, everything shows the word means mark, between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you, who sets you apart to be one of my family, one of my kingdom. Blessed are those, Yahshua said, Revelation 22:14, blessed are those that keep his seventh day Sabbath, along with the other laws of Yahweh, the other nine of the Ten Commandments. Blessed are those, well, they have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into this city. Yahweh, who sanctifies you, makes you holy along with the Sabbath. Turn back to Exodus 13. Exodus 13. I'm still hurrying. I don't want to keep you too long, but I do have to get this in. Exodus 13 and verse 9. Look at this closely. Read it closely. And it shall be unto you a sign. Notice verse 7, this is speaking of the Sabbath days, of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Tabernacles. Yeah, all these feasts, their appointments with Yahweh. And he says, and it shall be as a sign to you upon your hand. Upon your hand, because remember that, on your hand, because we're fixing to see the enforcement of that. They're going to try to enforce this national day of worshiping the sun god Baal. And as a memorial between your eyes, this is on your head, between your eyes, in your brain, between your eyes, that Yahweh's law shall be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, Yahweh brought you out of Egypt, that is the gods of Egypt, away from the gods of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. The Sabbaths are a sign between you and Yahweh that you belong to Yahweh. Remember, 1 John told you that, 1 Yochanan 3 and verse 10, this makes manifest the children of Yahweh, the Creator, from the children of the sun god Baal, or Satan the devil. Satan the devil, be like the gods, she said. Be like the gods, evil like the gods. Genesis 3, 5. 13, this is Revelations 13 is where we want to go now. Revelations 13, this shows you the two beasts here, the fourth beast of Daniel 7, all through the chapter of Daniel, in fact, and they have, you'll notice these have something in common now. Now listen to me, this beast of Daniel 7 who changed the laws now, we're fixing to look at it here, take a look at it. It's also shown in the book of Revelations as something that you and I, the house of Yahweh, is supposed to be taking to all the world. This message going to all the world in this short time period that we have to mend the house of Yahweh, to breach, to mend the breach. And of course, Yahweh has given us tools to do so now and tells us, this is for that reason. Use it. Use it. You can answer, you know, you can ask that program any question. I'm talking to everybody out there. You can ask that program any questions. It's free if you got an iPhone or computer. Now, it's absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything for it. Just pull it up and use it. You can ask it any question. It doesn't give you interpretations like God worshipers, like Sunday keeper God worshipers, sun God worshipers. It doesn't give you interpretations. It gives you scriptures. It answers it with scriptures because the scripture is not of any private interpretation. Yet the Pope wants to interpret it, then do away with it after he interprets it. Well, here's the first beast is speaking of that came up out of the sea. The sea is, as Revelation 17 says, are multitudes, nations, and tongue. It has seven heads. Remember, seven heads. Revelation 17 said those seven heads are seven mountains or seven hills on which this beastly system sits that has brought abominations to all the world and still bringing abomination. Abominations is doing away with Yahweh's laws, causing sickness, disease, epidemics, Yahshua said, the worst ever. I just saw an article this morning about a 3-month-old baby that already has type 2 diabetes. And they said this is an epidemic. This right here now is an epidemic. Babies being born and a few months later, they find out the diseases, cancer in the brain, you name it. The children are having it now. And this is the abominations that this being called Francis is bringing the message from the Vatican called the Divining Spirit to Washington just this week, this coming week. That's the reason I had to get this sermon in today and ask for this time to get it in. The seven heads and 10 horns, the same thing that Daniel described as the fourth beast with the little horn. It had 10 horns, then it had the little horn, and the little horn transplanted. That was the Herodians, which transplanted the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes to Rome with the great Roman army that destroyed the house of Yahweh in 70 A.C.E. Well, here now, it says the dragon, the last part of verse 2, the dragon gave him his power and seat and great authority. The dragon, that old dragon called the devil and Satan, chapter 12, verse 9, who deceives the whole world. And I saw, verse 3, I saw one of the heads as it was wounded to death. That's how the book of Yahweh actually came back. But this Catholic Church was wounded with the Black Plague. Their cardinals died by the millions. The Catholic Church was almost wiped out. And of course, this gave others in the church power to get the book of Yahweh, not the book of Yahweh, but renditions of the book of Yahweh printed under the king authorized version, of course, to the people, which I got in Oklahoma, and that was all taking place in the 1600s, 16 to 1900. You know, just very recent. Yes, that stayed missing for over 1500 years. The book of Yahweh did not come back till 1917 years later, when 1987 was when the book of Yahweh was given back to the people. Right. Praise Yahweh. Book of Yahweh, Isaiah 34:16. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. They translated that now, Book of Lord, but they admit, they remove the name Yahweh in all of its places and the name of Yahshua in all of its places and put the names of false gods and titles of gods in its place, having you worship Sunday and sun gods, Baals, lords, instead of Yahweh. And now wanting you, and wanting to force now, they're wanting to force all nations. And that's the reason he's getting together with 193 leaders privately to put this into operation. Malachi Martin says he's going to. He says Mary, one of the gods they worship, the Queen of Heaven, is going to make war, he said, the keys of this blood by Malachi Martin, one of their own. He gives their plans. Yahweh gave away their secrets before that, before Malachi Martin put his book out, The Keys of This Blood. But he agrees with the scripture. He didn't agree with the scriptures, but his book said the same thing the scriptures did. Shows. And all the world wondered after, that is, followed after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, all the world. 193 nations that is already worshiping, and he's going, and by the way, going to Cuba, and this atheist that is now in charge of Cuba, who was an atheist, and his dad was an atheist. Well, now he's announced that the Pope impressed him so that he made him an offer he couldn't refuse, is what he did. Either you're going to die like these others that died before you, or you're going to submit to doing what we say. Now, that's some of the things that they can tell you. And of course, he made a believer out of him, he said. So he said, I'm going to convert to Catholicism. Same way Tony Blair did. He converted. He saw God, he said. He saw God when he stepped in front of him, and he knew this was a dangerous thing, and, oh, please forgive me. Forgive me for ever thinking about Yahweh or anything else. And they worshiped the dragon. Don't you do that. Set your minds in advance that you would rather die than to worship anybody but Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power. The dragon gave power to the Catholic Church, the Vatican. The setup on the seven hills of Rome, that city that leader of the kings of the earth. The dragon, Satan the devil, is the one that gives him his seat and great authority. Well, what does he do with it? And there was given him unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to make war 42 moons, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh. Against Yahweh now, they removed that, of course, and put a false title in its place, but they admit they did it, so the name is Yahweh. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh. You don't see him blaspheming Lord. You don't see him saying anything bad about Lord or God. He's wanting you to worship the sun god, Baal. To blaspheme his name and his house, and those who dwell in heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now remember this, because this is exactly what Daniel showed of the fourth beast, that all the Christian scholars admit that this is the Catholic Roman Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, as they called it. The saints and will overcome them. Now, Daniel shows how long they will overcome. They will actually overcome the house of Yahweh. Daniel shows you that. Yeshua said, no, here's where it stops. They will not. The gates of hell won't prevail against this house. Remember that. Please, remember it. Let it soak into your mind. Know that Yahweh is in control. Yes, know that for sure. Overcome them, and authority was given him over all tribes, peoples, languages, and nations. and all who dwell upon the earth will worship him. They're doing it right now. Right now, as I speak, and those who are refusing, as Malachi Martin said, war is being waged against them. That book came out before that war started, before the wars ever started. We had the peaceful solution going out to nations overseas, had it set up where three nations wanted all their teachers taught at one time. And they said, well, Hawkins, you can go to Georgia if you want to, but we can't assure you that you will get back. Because the war had started. And all who dwell, they wouldn't let flights out of there. And all who dwell upon the earth will worship him whose names are not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life. Well, whose names are written there? Blessed are those that do his commandments or his laws. That's the ones whose names are being written in the book of life. Well, look on down now. This is Revelations 13. Now let's turn over to Daniel 7 quickly. Daniel 7, found on page 679, if that will help you. Daniel 7, remember what you read there. He blasphemes the name of Yahweh. In verse 5, we'll look at Daniel now, the seventh chapter, and look at verse 25. And he will speak great words against Yahweh, the same thing he said in Revelation. We know this is the same one, but in the last days. And he speaks great words against Yahweh and will wear out the saints of Yahweh and think to change times. That's the feast days that I just showed you on the calendar. This is what they hate. You see any of them keeping the feast days? You see any of them keeping the feast days at the house of Yahweh? Well, yeah, some are coming here, praise Yahweh. Many of them. Change the feast days of Yahweh and laws, and they will be given into his hand until. And this is where Yahshua cut it off. Until. We're no longer given into their hands. Yahshua says they won't prevail against us anymore. And times and the dividing of times, that's what you see now, the quartet in action again, if I can find it here right quickly. The quartet is also to meet this month. The quartet, Jordan will participate in Middle East Quartet meeting late September. The quartet, Middle East mediators, will meet September 20th with the participation of Arab foreign ministers, including Jordan. A statement by the United Nations said Saturday. The quartet on the Middle East, or sometimes called the Diplomatic Quartet, was established in 2002, which I brought out many times. Another article on it, I got several. UN confirms Middle East Quartet meets September the 30th. Band had invited the foreign minister of Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, as well as the Secretary General of the League of the Arab States. States, Middle East Quartet, to meet as part of the EU bid to restart Israeli-Palestinian talks. Middle East Quartet, representatives of Arab countries will join the Middle East Quartet in New York at the end of September to seek ways to revive peace talks between Arabs and the Palestinians. Okay, back to this times and the dividing of times here. This is also shown in Revelation. But the judgment will set, and they, that's us, we're actually going to take away his rule. The judgment will set, and they will take away his government to consume and to destroy it completely. Now, they're going to destroy their own governments. We're going to mop up after they do. Yes. But all the time that they're destroying this government and the wars are going on, we're telling them about this and telling this is what Yahweh predicted you would bring upon yourselves by breaking his laws, by rejecting your appointments with Yahweh, the feast days, the Sabbath days, and so forth. Now, verse 27, then the kingdoms and governments and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of Yahweh, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all governments will serve and obey him. That is Yahweh. Find my paper here again. Okay, now, verse 8, look back to verse 8 here, chapter 7, verse 8 of Daniel, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. This is the worthless horn that is today is called their spokesman or pope. And look over at verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were on his head, and that's the same thing showed in Revelation, they had 10 horns. Then the little one came up, the spokesman came up, and became, along with this system, the leader of the kings of the earth. Well, read it again, verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were on his head, and of the other horn which came up before, whom three fell, that word actually means transplant, it plucked up over in verse 8, is transplant, it means transplant. Well, they picked them up from Israel, transplanted them to in Rome. I'll take you beyond Babylon, he said. So they transplanted them in Rome, fell the whom three fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great words, that is, passed a lot of laws, as is shown in verse 11, passed a lot of laws, more and more laws. Well, one woman I was told, a representative in Washington, is wanting to pass a law now that for people to be forced to go to church, back to a church, choose a church of their choice, and go to it every Sunday. it's coming as Revelation showed. A mouth that speaks very great words, that's a lot of laws, whose look was furious, and that's what they're afraid of, this pope who changed the laws, but only for that time period. This time period that is now ended in the house of Yahweh, reestablished on earth, bringing forth the message is going on right now. Back to Revelation 13 now, because in verse 11 it shows the United States gets in on this enforcing the religion, what is going on right now. And of course, the nations that Malachi Martin named, there's many of them have fallen already. And of course, they're trying to establish their Christianity there. It's not working too well for them, but they're trying. And that's exactly what Malachi Martin said was going to go on. That's what your scripture says, too. Notice verse 11. Now, this horn here, it doesn't come up out of the sea where there's multitudes, nations, and tongues, the waters. Where there's multitudes, nations, and tongues, as Revelation 17, I think verse 9 shows. And he says, and I saw, verse 11, Revelation 13, verse 11, and I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. No multitudes, nations, and tongues. It comes up out of the earth. And he had two horns, Protestant and Catholic. Two horns, like a lamb. Looks like a lamb. Oh, isn't he gentle? Look at him. He's kissing the children. As millions of them are being slaughtered by the leadership of the kings of the earth. So he's got a forked tongue as well as a forked character. Two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. This is the United States. The United States is the only system that formed where there was no multitudes, nations, or tongues. It formed in the as what is called the United States right now. That's the land, the ends of the earth. And he exercised all the authority, notice, of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and those who dwell upon it to worship the first beast. Sunday worship is the worship of the gods. And of course, that's what they're trying to enforce here. And right now, they're already cutting off money supplies let's be turning over to Psalms 91. They're already sanctioning many nations, trying to bring them down, and using their sanctions to try to scare everyone into submitting to the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church knows this. They're the leader of the kings of the earth. And if they take away their favors, which they have from Russia, the Pope went to see Putin first, and then came the sanctions against him. The Pope went to several other places, and each time he goes to a place, something occurs. Well, here in Psalms now, here is what we're looking at. The neatest thing, I thought, was this Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. They have a film, and he was showing all these dead babies from poison gas and bombs and things that are going on over there right now. And it was rather gruesome, and of course they wouldn't allow him to show everything, but the news announcer asked him, "Why are you wanting to show all this horrible thing with all these children being killed like this and see them suffocating and being blown apart and so forth?" He says, "I want the people to see it." He said, "If they'd had cell phones when the Holocaust was going on," he said, "it would have gotten, pictures would have been taken, and it would have gotten back to the people where they could see what was taking place in Europe." And he said, "I want them to see what is taking place over there." Well, they let him show a little of it. That was on 60 Minutes. Yahweh willing, we'll have it next Sabbath and play it for you if you didn't see it. But or even if you did see it, you can watch it again. But it is horrible. What they showed is horrible to look at. But this, I said when I saw this, he's repeating our words. You're going to see this. Psalms 91 tells you. But it also tells you it won't come near you if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath and start keeping Yahweh's Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, not Sunday, not Sunday after the sun god. In Colossians, the second chapter, we're told, don't let anyone condemn you for celebrating the Sabbath, the new moons, and so forth. Condemn you, cause you to lose your reward. That's the condemnation. It's given in the very second verse after that, I think. That condemn you. That's what it means. Cause you to lose your reward. He who deals in, now Psalms 91, verse 1. In Colossians, it calls them a shadow from things to come. The King James Version translated that a shadow. These feast days, new moon, Sabbaths, are your shadow from things to come. They put it a shadow of things to come. Just a little bit to deceive. This is a rendition of the King James Version. If you read just a little further, even in the King James Version, you can see that it's talking about don't stop keeping Yahweh's feast days and Sabbaths and new moons. At the first time I read that, you know, I must have been 6 years old or 7 years old, something like that. And I do remember this, and I remembered how the preachers were telling it in the Brush Arbors, and I remember also how Mother and Dad said, "Do you remember what he said here?" Well, they told a lie. And of course, my mother and dad caught it because they were readers of the Bible. And they said, "No, this is not saying to do away with. It said, go ahead and do it. Don't let them stop you." So I do remember little things like that in real early studies. But he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It was a secret for a long time that the house of Yahweh would be established in these last days. First off, we had to get the King James Version out, which didn't come out till the 1600s. Wasn't printed till the 1600s. And then it had to be spread out to Oklahoma, where I was brought up. That was a couple of hundred years later. The British Bible Society, if you've been reading the newsletters and the prophetic word letters, you'll see I brought the history out of the British Bible Society that brought one of those to our home or to the Brush Arbor meetings. And the preachers said, give them to the preachers, and the preachers would pass them out. And of course, my mother and daddy had those, in fact, I had one myself that the preacher gave to me, and I still had it. You know, I was just thinking the other night, about 3 o'clock, that Yahweh probably had that, and it's probably in somewhere where I was. One time where I was left some things and moved from, and it's probably in a safe place, but but it was marked up big time. Well, verse 2, we say to Yahweh, you are a refuge. You better be saying that the house of Yahweh is your refuge. Yahweh is your protector. He's our fortress. You are our Father. In you we will trust. Not the gods, not the evil gods, but Yahweh. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome deadly pestilence. That's the disease epidemics that are going on right now. Disease epidemics. Brethren, the world is so sick out there, you can't imagine how sick it is. Flu now, they just announced that flu is in Abilene again, and it's a deadly strain, they say, and they're urging everyone to get their flu shots. Of course, the more flu shots that are given, the faster it's going to grow and spread out. Be careful. Keep yourselves clean. Please, don't go into places you don't have to go. He will cover you with his feathers. And there's always that if, remember, we read it to begin with. If you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from Yahweh's appointed Sabbath, if you will do that, then Yahweh will mend this breach between you and him. And the studies that you get from this book of Yisrael is going to do this if you will use them. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. That's the laws of Yahweh, the truth. That's Psalms 195 something another. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly in the, by day, nor by the pestilence, that's disease epidemics that walk in darkness, nor of the destruction that waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 will at your right hand, but it will not come near you, only with your eyes. You see that? Scott Pelley says, I want them to see it. That's the reason he put it on 60 Minutes. He says, I want them to see it, and maybe they will just start trying to do something about it. You know, when you see them in their meetings, they're laughing and smiling and playing with each other and talking how to make more money. Moneyline shows the same thing. It's like they have no concerns at all about the thousands of people that are suffering all over the world, including America. But they're keeping themselves. They're keeping themselves inside and clean and protected. But they're doing nothing. They act like they're doing something. They're going to talk about this. They're going to talk about this. But what they're going to do is not what they talk about that goes to the public. What they're going to do is what the Scripture shows. And what Malachi Martin announced. And they're going to bring these wars, but they're not going to hurt the oil and their lifestyles. Their filthy, evil, abominable lifestyles. Only with your eyes you will see. You will look and you will see the reward of the wicked. Well, that's what we're doing right now. We're seeing it in our own homes, on our own computers, on our own TV set. We're seeing it, as Scott Pelley said, the news announcer. Because you have made Yahweh your refuge, because you have made the Most High your house, the house of Yahweh, your dwelling, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. Well, that's the protection. That's a protected place. I wanted to get that in before the Pope gets here. You'll be hearing a lot of lies about what he's wanting you to do, and all of it's going to sound really, really great. But what they're truly going to do is what I just showed you in Revelations, the 13th chapter. That's what they're truly going to do. Before this is over, four-fifths of the earth's population will be wiped out. Plagues everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world except the protected place. The protected place. Please don't make yourself vulnerable and bring something back to the protected place. Think. Do I really have to do this? Before you do it, think about it. You could save your life and others too. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!